Saving money on everything for your next project when you shop at Menards. Menards has a huge selection of concrete and mortar mixes. Our concrete products are great for a variety of applications, including pouring a walkway, setting a post, or even installing stone veneer. View our entire selection of concrete mixes and supplies in-store and on Menards.com. Plus, check out the weekly flyer for more great deals happening this week. Save big money at Menards.
What is going on, everybody? Ladies, gentlemen, NBs, people of whatever other description they want to use. Fuck it, I don't care. And, you know, we got some wrestling to discuss this week. There's all kinds of stuff. This is the Eat, Sleep, Elite, Repeat podcast. You know, should I drop the repeat on the intro? We're just Eat, Sleep, Elite, really. Like, I don't say, yeah. What are we repeating? I guess repeating the process? I've never understood that. All right, well.
You know what we're repeating?
Da Vinci?
True. But that being said, we actually have such a great segue. Anyway, but I mean, hey, listen, there was a lot of really good wrestling this week. I was actually saying to you right before we went, I guess it's like I always say live, but it's not like live. But before we went, you know, and started the recording, I was saying to you how it felt like everything vibed well this week together. Like some weeks it could feel a little disconnected because it's just like, oh, I feel like all wrestling can get like this sometimes, where it's like if there's multiple wrestling shows that are all interconnected, you know, in a week, you know, that aren't like taped. Yeah. I guess some of them technically are taped in this case, but they take into account next week's storylines when they tape Dark the week before. Generally speaking, unless there's some kind of thing they don't want to reveal, obviously, then they do some like ninja shit where they do the match anyway. But anyway, but everything kind of vibed together well this week in a way that I thought fit, and it felt like everything mattered. So that was cool.
Yeah,
they don't always get that, especially on a week like this week, where I was telling you, like, the opening match of Dynamite almost felt like a fucking pay-per-view main event, almost, like, kind of build that it had for it, you know, and it was the opening match. I mean, talk about sending the crowd into, like, a frenzy, you know, like.
I just have to imagine this Dynamite, since I guess it was both of them taped back-to-back, this had to be such a fun show live. And if any of you guys went to it, man, I hope you had a great fucking time, because this had to be a hell of a show, literally beginning to end.
Absolutely. So before we get into breaking all that stuff down, though, we do have a couple of orders of business to take care of at the top of the order of the business. My brain just did a little bit of a backflip there. Sorry. Few orders of business to take care of. Yeah, to DaVinci at the beginning of the podcast before we get started, which is make sure you guys follow us on Twitter if you haven't. Like, if it's your first time listening to the podcast, you might not know. We have Twitter pages, and there's also other places you can find us on the internet, but I'm at Bane Duke. That's BaneDuke on Twitter, and you can find Charlie at OCharlie with an X instead of an A. And I also stream pretty much daily as much as I can. Whenever I'm actually awake and decide, yeah, today's a good day, I end up streaming, and I do that at twitch.tv/TheDukeOfDerbs. You know, there's all kinds of platforms that you can find us on, you know, that you might be listening to us on right now, be that like Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, the Pandora, the Amazon Music, you know, various other podcast platforms. I would sit here and list them all, but I can't, I can't remember them all, and two, you get the idea. And there's like a follow and or subscribe button that'll get those into your feed every week, so you don't have to, you know, manually download every episode, which can really screw you up when like the internet goes out and you want to listen to a podcast and you realize you only have episodes you didn't actually want to listen to saved on your phone. That's never happened ever. Not once. Anyway, that being said, though, we always start off the pod with a little bit of stuff that we like, because we like to have a bit of a positive attitude around here. You know, it's like the New Day talked about power positivity or whatever. Like, you know, we kind of believe in that a little bit. I feel like everybody kind of believes in that, watch that era of wrestling a little bit, right? Like, they're like, yeah, okay.
Everything.
Yes, exactly. We need Lance Archer back for that. But that being said, though, I was saying to you, like, when everyone's like, oh, who's got favorites first, I always end up getting it wrong, and I thought it was going to be you this week. It ended up being me, so I ended up I could have snatched like the best match on all the shows from you, but I decided that I would be merciful and allow us to talk about both talk about matches that we liked, because that's really what I'm honestly not doing, because then you just end up talking about it's like you, if I do that, what am I doing? I'm just making us both talk about other matches than the ones we really liked. It's really no point in doing that, right? Like, so we might as well just talk about what we actually liked. It's like no competition here, you know? So I was really, you know, I was like a couple weeks ago, I was like, oh yeah, I knew what match was going to be my favorite next week. I kind of knew that as well this week. I mean, when this match was announced, I think it was on Rampage or something like that. They just threw this match out there that was going to be happening. I was just like, okay,
they've been doing
sure.
that more with Rampage. They did it again this week.
I like that. It makes people end up having to watch because they're like, oh yeah, well, I didn't even know that match was happening. Well, actually, they announced it on Rampage. Wait, what? You know, like, and then maybe people start watching Rampage, hopefully. Excuse me. I've been doing a lot to try and help Rampage recently. I don't know if it's actually been helping or not, but hopefully it has, you know, because I like that show and I hope it sticks around. But I was really vibing with Konosuke Takeshita taking on Bryan Danielson this week. So before we actually get into the match, there is obviously some stuff we should talk about here.
Because it was kind of a whole segment, right?
Yeah.
Takeshita's music hits, and then when MJF comes out.
Yeah, so instead of Bryan Danielson's music hitting, MJF's music comes out, it hits and he comes out. So I am jumping all over the place with my words today. My brain is ahead of where I'm actually at in my speech. Anyway, that being said, and MJF comes out, and the first comments that he makes are, like, he doesn't really know how to say Takeshita's name. I'm not going to say what he said, obviously, because I personally didn't like actually like it that much. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, this is totally in character for MJF. And I don't disagree with that. It doesn't mean I have to like it, you know, like,
yeah.
And then he called him a nerd also, but I was like, you're a nerd, MJF, in my head. But, I'm dissing MJF as if that's going to get me anywhere.
MJF, he came out and tried to cut like a 70s fucking heat promo on the Foreigner, and it's just like, that doesn't really go over in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, it got him heat.
Yeah,
you know, so I,
I guess it did work. It's just a different type
of
heat now.
It did work. Yeah, I just don't know if people are gonna look, you know, it's like, especially, and like at one point that I saw made was like with MJF's character inconsistently kind of saying this after he talked about being bullied for being Jewish in his CM Punk stuff. Like, I do understand that perspective, like, because it did kind of feel like MJF was a bit of a new generation wrestling character in that way, that he acknowledges like his feelings and like that he had a reason why he became an evil bastard. He's not just an evil bastard. I feel like we established that with the CM Punk stuff.
Yeah,
and then if he does this, I mean, it's, there's maybe a metaphor there about becoming the monster that you hated, right? But I don't know if he's going that deep with it. And even if he is, I don't know if wrestling fans are going to go that deep with it themselves. So, all that aside, you know, if you can look past that, which I guess we kind of have to talk about the segment further, you know, MJF got his heat off of that. I liked the Scooby douchebag line. That was pretty fucking good.
Scooby Dooby douchebag.
Yeah.
Yeah, Freddie Prinze Jr., the guy who's we've covered on this show, starting his own wrestling business.
Absolutely.
He's Kanan and...
and he got a chant, too, in the crowd, Freddie.
Yeah, he's Freddie. Kanan in a Star Wars show, which, if you guys have been following us for a while, you know we love Star Wars. So, you know, I've always liked him. So
cool to Freddie. See. Freddie's still really knowledgeable about Star Wars, actually, so I've always liked him. Scooby douchebag in the house. And then MJF dipped the fuck out. As soon as Danielson came in, so he's playing it well.
The chicken
I would have
shit.
Liked if this was like maybe a few minutes shorter and MJF didn't say the things, but I mean, hey, whatever. But the match itself was actually really good. They did some really good mat wrestling stuff at the start. Takeshita gave some heavy shots to the jaw right after that too to Danielson that were just like really, really nice.
Yeah.
You know, this match on paper sounds like really good, but then like you actually could have like a couple of different kinds of matches with this. You could have like a technical wrestling match, like a Ring of Honor pure type match or whatever, with lots of like holds and stuff like that. You could also, because Takeshita can totally do that, you know, you could also have like a really fast paced Bryan Danielson, like when he was Daniel Bryan type of match where he's just running around the ring like an absolute lunatic, just doing flips and stuff, you know. Or you can have like that kind of match from Takeshita where he's just running around the ring like a crazy person, just bouncing off the ropes and flying outside of the ring and stuff like that, you know, like, and you didn't really get any of those variations. You kind of got like a slugfest, like a Japanese style, like sort of like what we had with The beginnings of what we had between Okada and Jay White, where they're just slugging at each other, you know?
Yeah.
Which I didn't get that far into the match, but I saw that much. They were just beating the piss out of each other, you know? The Takeshita line looked really clean. They had some really nice chops too, back and forth at one point. Oh my God, dude, that top row lariat spot, it's never not going to look amazing, especially when someone like Danielson takes it, because he just like throws
it's
his body.
Such a perfect spot, and Takeshita is so knowledgeable that he knows the perfect spot
Danielson
when to hit that in the match.
Regularly been doing like the Hurricane Rana and Poison Rana and stuff like off the top, or I mean, not a Poison Rana, but like he does like those kinds of moves off the top. So like you expect it to be that, and then he hits that, and you're like, oh shit, that's why Takeshita is the person he's wrestling right now. And that brain buster he hit on the floor, it looked like he absolutely killed Danielson and just ended his career. I might have to just go ahead and give the Simmons to that this week. That looked absolutely brutal. Like,
here he is.
That's about like, I was afraid for Danielson after that spot. I was like, God damn. I even wrote in my notes, it was a slugfest. Just what a match, you know? Did you have any thoughts on this match, Charlie?
Yeah, absolutely. And the only thing from the beginning that not to bring us back, but we had a great line from Takeshita, and we haven't had Takeshita speak too much.
Oh yeah, that's right. I forgot about this.
Takeshita, you know, he spoke in Japanese first, and then, you know, he went to speak in English, and he had a great line of, I will kick your ass. And I just thought it was so fitting. It's like, all right, of course, our first Takeshita soundbite is him talking about he's going to kick someone's ass. And it was delivered perfectly. So I thought that was really nice. There was another spot that was making its waves around Twitter because people thought it was a botch. But people were dissecting more like, no, this is what it was meant to be. And it involved Daniel. I haven't done that in a while. It involved Bryan Danielson jumping off the top rope, getting caught by Takeshita. And then he kind of like flips him between his legs and lands that.
Okay, so I watched that back. I saw the clip you're talking about on Twitter, like the night, the night of, or maybe the night after. I can't remember. Like I remember seeing the clip that you're talking about though, and I remember thinking, I agree with whoever had posted it because they had said he just caught him here and turned it into a different spot. It could have been that was where they were going anyway. Like that spot.
Yeah,
been,
and
like even if he caught him the way he was supposed to, and they hit the Hurricane Rana that it looked like they were trying to hit. I think because there was also a Hurricane Rana that looked like kind of went a little bit wrong, but then like, you know, on the outside. So that one might have been like they were trying to get that spot. You know what I mean? Saying like sometimes it'll go back and try and hit something again.
Exactly. And I watched the clip and I was like, huh, I didn't see where the mistake was. And then independent wrestler was actually wrestled on AEW before, Kevin Blackwood. He kind of posted a little analysis
on it. I
think
I saw Blackwood's post actually.
Yeah. And I was like, you know what? That makes perfect sense. And I'm going to trust that this guy knows what he's talking about. And that looks like it was planned, and I thought that was a beautiful spot. And I mean, this was storybook wrestling, right? Like this match beginning to end, it was so much fun. It was just beautiful. And I thought, you know, coming out of it, Eve Takeshita loses, but I think he looks better than he did going in, if that's even possible.
I mean, it's totally possible. That's how wrestling should be, right?
Yeah, you know? Right. Exactly. And he is the smoothest. I mean, outside of Omega, it's going to be hard. I haven't felt this way about someone as a wrestler in a long time when it comes to just everything they do is so smooth. And I wish I could describe what I see when I feel that, but there's so many little things. And
that's what I feel when I watch FTR and Danielson.
Yeah, it's so beautiful, you know? And smooth, and the potential is just limitless, and I'm so glad we're still getting these Danielson matches. You know, a few months back when we got the match with Lee Moriarty, I remember we came on here and we're like, man, it just feels good that we're going to get this match and the Daniel Garcia feud and now Takeshita. And I hope this isn't the end of it. I think Takeshita's got a big year planned in this company. So, yeah, good stuff all around. Yeah, good segment. I would love the idea of MJF versus Takeshita. I think that would also be a fun match.
Absolutely. Even if Takeshita doesn't say a word and MJF just like says fucked up things to him the whole time, that'll just make it like maybe that's who should win. Maybe 2 years down
awesome
the line, that's
beats
who beats MJF, right? Like instead of Eddie, like they have a match, they have like a death match, you know, and that's who ends up facing
literally.
MJF.
So okay, here we go. Let's jump to my favorite, which I agree with you before we were talking on the show. It's like just so many good things this week. I could literally pick a bunch of them. But it's the culmination, well, let's pick the final match in the best of seven. The Elite versus Death Triangle in the Escalera de la Muerte match. It was the main event. And here's the thing. The expectations for this match are already through the roof. So they have to deliver. Because you're not going into this match at a best of seven with these
two fucking trios. Hold up. Before we get into all that talk, Phoenix Shockmastered the shit out of himself on the entrance. I will hear nothing else.
I don't even remember it.
He slid. Remember, he did the slid.
Oh, you know what? I did catch that a little bit. I did catch that, actually.
He's all right, though. It was fun. It was fun. I just thought it was really funny. I was like, oh, no. Is that how this match is going to go?
Right? But, I mean, dude, everything that we've been seeing playing out in this match, just the welcome back of Kenny Omega with the title. It was a nice little touch. But you name it. Every single spot, it was beautiful. And we got our spots of Kenny and Pac, which we've been kind of waiting to see more and more. The hammers getting fucking thrown into the crowd. Dude, that was pretty brutal. He fucking launched that shit, Christ. Man. He fucking launched it. I was like, there's no way that didn't just hit a child.
Yeah, someone's eye is gone.
And it's like, but here's the thing, right? So we got new champions. We ended this. We were talking last week. We're like, I don't know who wins. You could tell me either or, and I get on board with it.
That's the thing. Like, what you don't realize now is that what you have to talk about with this Lucha Brothers title reign is that it's seven matches longer now. Each one of these is technically a title defense, really, if you think about it. Like, you know, like,
yeah,
yes, they're not on the line for any of the six other matches, but you might as well consider these title matches, because if they would have won four in a row, it doesn't matter. They would have been champions. You know what I mean? So, like,
absolutely. And God, here's the thing, right? I've had so much fun with this over the past 2 months, because we've had our seven matches, including the return match at Full Gear. That's how long it's been going on. And I'm so glad we were able to pull this off, because I'm such a fan of the idea of a playoff. First of all, just being a stats and like a nerd here with having a playoff, essentially, which is what it was.
Playoffs.
It added so much more to it. And here's the thing. Now we know the plan was to get the belts back on the Elite, but you don't want to do it right away. So how do you do it?
No, people would have felt like, what the fuck? You just came back and got your championships back after they're like, what? They would have felt so unearned. Like,
yep. And so what do? They plan it out to where Death Triangle gets an extra 2.5 months on their title reign. And they have insane matches along the way. They turn heel along the way. And
they embrace the way of the hammer.
And now I look back on as Death Triangle had an unbelievable title reign. It was so much fun. Yeah, they feuded with one team most of the time, but it was the Elite.
Is this like the best series of matches? I won't say the best of seven, because people have already come up with like one that they say is like, oh, from this, like, I think it's like from Japan or something like that. Like that they came up with, like, oh, you can't say it's better than this. Okay, best series of matches, though. Is this the best series of matches like ever? Is that too far?
Definitely in terms of a trios matches, I can't think of another one.
Can I just say, this is when I remember like a year, maybe a year and a half ago on this podcast, when I was talking about the need for trios titles and why I believed in it so much, was because, like, imagine if you did a trios ladder match or a trios tables match or a trios like just street fight. We did all of those kinds. We didn't do a tables match, but we did all kinds of spots like that throughout this entire thing. And I just want to say, I feel validated for that, how this worked out, you know?
Absolutely. And I mean, here, another thing is, Before I let you kind of take control here and give your thoughts on everything, I thought, in a way, at the beginning, they were kind of, you know, working out the kinks, right? And we saw that play out until the end here. And I got to say, I love the idea that they won with Kenny getting the fucking hitting a one-winged angel and then climbing the ladder. But, you know, Pac got his fucking... He tried the Black Arrow. Kenny got his knees up. I mean, this whole thing was fucking beautiful. When Lucha Brothers started setting up the ladder on top of the ladder, I'm like, oh no. Oh no. Who's going to die? But yeah, really good stuff. Just a super action-packed main event. Like, That's the best way to describe it. So yeah, what did you think of this and then the feud? And then we'll kind of talk about their title reign
a little Absolutely. Bit. Just like that like nuts sequence at the beginning that led to some flippy shit at the start. That was good. Oh, I love the springboard arm drag from Phoenix to get somebody off a ladder that's climbing. That is I've never seen that before.
That was a beautiful touch. Good point.
I always write down spots that I've never seen before that I really like their placement in the match. Kenny missing into the table because of being still out of it from that fucking bloodbath that he had with Will Ospreay. Yeah, that checks out. Yep. Also, I love Kenny being there with the with that IWGP United States Heavyweight Championship. Love to
That's
see it.
That's a beautiful title.
But imagine being fucking Juice though, and you lose that title without actually having a match, and then Kenny just shows up with it. Anyway, because he was on this show, well, not on this show.
I'm liking Juice in AEW so far.
Oh yeah, he's been fun. I just imagine being Juice and Tony Storm backstage, like, hey, there's my championship. Anyway, but yeah, so that 450 through the table was also really, really good. The fear factor on the ladder, and that you mentioned that one winged angel off of the ladders that were put up in that, like, you know, classic sort of Sami Zayn, El Generico, pre orphanage El Generico, and Kevin Steen. I wonder what ever happened to that Kevin Steen guy. He must have gone back to Canada. Anyway, yeah.
Did you?
Go ahead. Oh, and there was an eels and escalator sign. Go ahead.
And you notice Matt Jackson didn't take too many crazy bumps?
I think there was said that there was multiple injuries to both sides throughout. I think Pac re-broke his nose, I want to say. I think there was a broken toe. This might be kayfabe, but that's what they said, I think, right? So,
I think going forward, and to me this match is a little bit of the proof, I think going forward we're not going to see Matt Jackson take too many crazy things. I think his back is probably at a point where he takes one more really like god awful bump and it goes wrong. Because that's the thing. He can take these bumps and they'll be fine. But if it happens to go wrong, he might be fucked.
So, I mean, why not just have Kenny go on a little singles run with the IWGP title and AEW for a while then? Like, defending it over there, defending it over here, you know, as much as he can. Because we know that they will let AEW people do that. They let FTR do it on TV all the time if they wanted to, you know, so like.
Oh, yeah. And I think Matt, just about every time he went through a table, it was him doing it. So he was able to control it. Little things like that. Not like
Willow just killing fucking, was that Anna Jay? Jesus.
If that happened to Matt Jackson, he might not wrestle again.
Yeah, like he would be Matt right? Jackson might be dead.
Like, that's not even crazy to like say. I mean, that's probably true. He probably wouldn't wrestle again if that bump happened to him. So, yeah, I just kind of noticed that when I was rereading here. I'm like, you know what? He really didn't take anything crazy. I watched someone point out.
It's probably for the best, right? Yeah, but, you know, if he's going to be breaking his back, literally, we don't need that. We just lost Kenny for a year with broken shoulders or like or whatever the hell they were. Like, he just completely destroyed shoulders because he just throws his body against the wall. By the way, something we should have pointed out. I don't think we pointed this out yet. And I think it played into this match really nicely because of Kenny having just come back from New Japan. I like that we have New Japan style barricades now. Because honestly, like, old, you know, they're fine. Like, the WWE ones now are just fucking atrocious, in my opinion, you know, that are just like walls around the ring. Like, fucking, I get it's for the people's safety, probably. And so they can make like really cool, like, exploding walls and stuff that they can, you know, but like, I think I prefer the way Japan's doing it right now, even though Japan's got, like, I think the least viewership, right? Like, not, like, the least, but, like, they're not, like, doing that well. That's why, like, you know, Kenny had to go back and stuff, right? So, like, you know, just a really good match.
So we'll talk about the title reign a little bit here. Obviously, they won it after it was vacated, so they just won it on Dynamite following All Out, and they ended up having a 126-day title reign, so a pretty lengthy reign. I mean, they started this thing September 7th. And so some of the matches, right? They win it off of the Best Friends, who I honestly thought was winning it that night. When we found out who was in the match, I was like, Best Friends all day. Have the Babyfaces win the title here. Get Orange Cassidy his first belt. And lo and behold, he did it.
Little did we know, you know.
And I thought that made sense because Best Friends have been a tag team since the jump. But and Death Triangle Pac was already a champion. That was a fun match. We jump forward the next night, and Death Triangle faces the Dark Order in a 21-minute match. Reynolds, Silver, and 10. And I remember thinking, oh, shit, the Dark Order might be back. Well,
that was the match, I think, probably when they decided that 10 was ready to be on his own, you'd think.
It could have been, because that was really good. And, again, the time, 21 minutes. Jesus, the main event, the Rampage there. We jump forward another 2 weeks. Death Triangle defeats the Best Friends in Orange Cassidy again on AEW Title Tuesday in Cincinnati.
Title Tuesday.
I don't remember that one as much as the first match, but I'm assuming...
You don't remember Title Tuesday? Come on.
I do remember Title Tuesday. I just don't remember this match specifically. I can't picture anything from it, but we then jump forward about 3 weeks. This was the one. Death Triangle defeating AR Fox and Top Flight. That was fucking awesome. That was when I felt like that trio.
This is the first time AR hit that like ring post flippy moonsaulty thing. That
so beautiful. Oof. And then at Full Gear, we started the best of seven where they defeated the Elite in just an awesome fucking match. So
the Elite. The
and then they lose it January 11th. So, yeah, a good lengthy title reign. They kind of turned heel. I'm sure that'll be addressed more. Like I said,
I mean, has Phoenix turned heel?
He seems to be the guy in the light, right? So
I mean, I
don't know. I don't know what's going on out here. All right, so that was our favorites this week, guys. 25 minutes into the show. I think we love those favorites a little bit, huh?
Some meat to that segment there, pal.
So what we're going to do now is we're going to jump into some news. And then
some of the news.
And then we're going to do some fantasy booking like we like to do.
Some fantasy.
Where we're going to fantasy book who we think should be in the Dark Order.
The Dark Order.
Because that's been a segment that we've been following for a couple weeks. And you know what? Batista needs to help us out with some fantasy booking. We'll then jump into Elevation Dark, Dynamite Rampage, and preview next week. We'll cover all the results and all that. So real quick with the news kicking us off. Jay White and Eddie Kingston. They're set for the New Japan Pro Wrestling Battle in the Valley. If we needed any more reason to cover this match, right? So New Japan Battle in the Valley, Saturday, February 18th.
Two.
We will be covering this show because it's going to be Kairi versus Mercedes Moné. The World Heavyweight Championship will be defended. Eddie Kingston versus Jay White. And then Filthy Tom Lawler versus Homicide is so far announced. So that'll be a pretty good show.
Yeah.
That's not the end of the Jay White news. There was a report out of Fightful Select, that Jay White is expected to leave New Japan Pro Wrestling when his contract expires, which is, quote, relatively soon.
Contact.
And everyone just assumes he's either headed for WWE or AEW, which makes the most sense. Wouldn't it be cool if we went to, like, Noah? Just fuck it.
Yeah, it said fuck it instead of going to AEW. It said, yeah, no, actually, I'm going to DDT.
Yeah, right? But he would fit great in either company.
I'm going to WOW. Wait, Jay. Wait.
You know what? And I wouldn't be surprised if he'd be one of those guys Triple H would just bring right to the main roster. Because he hasn't done that yet. Other than his returns. So, I'm very curious where Jay White would fall on that list. I think
he'd bring him up. In the Fed hierarchy, I think he would be like up there with Cody Rhodes in terms of value by the company.
Right? They'd bring him in. Give him a whole new gimmick. Yeah, it'd be pretty cool. That's not the only, since it is January, we're going to start getting more of these probably every week. And we have another signing. Former New Japan Pro Wrestling wrestler Carl Fredericks has signed with the NXT brand in WWE. We've covered some Carl Fredericks on here. He wrestled a little bit in Dark when they were doing all that. And then, he's officially gone. He's been spotted at the Performance Center. And you know what? Good on him. He's a graduate of the LA Dojo. So,
and we always say that Japanese style of wrestling training is a really good way to get like a good base for wrestling. So if he can like get the other side from Triple H's crew now, then maybe it balances it out. I don't know. We'll see.
Absolutely. He can work
both ways, right? Like I've talked about that, you know, like a Japanese wrestler. Like I think I wouldn't lie that like I bet Kushida is a better wrestler now, you know, than probably than he was before he went to WWE's Performance Center. But then, you know, that's just because you just learn there. So, I mean, you know, I don't know how much you actually pick up if you're trained already like that. I have no idea, but.
And we're going to keep it up going here. Frankie Kazarian. He is no longer in AEW.
You guessed it.
He's no longer here. And I believe his last match was with Takeshita. So that's fucking awesome. And we covered that match on Dark. And we talked about that. It was pretty good. But Frankie Kazarian is no longer in AEW. He has signed a long-term contract with Impact Wrestling. And basically, this could have been in kayfabe a little bit, but he said in a brief promo, he said, after his return to Impact last year, he went back to where he was, and he was surrounded by strangers who he thought were his friends, and something didn't seem right. So, you know, Frankie Kazarian is going to be at the top of the card in Impact. And he
what didn't seem right was the booking, Frankie.
Yeah. He had fallen to the bottom of the card in AEW. He had an Elite Killer gimmick last year that was pretty fun, but late 2021, I should say. But that's he's kind of been on the ropes. I on this podcast about 8 months ago, I said I thought Frankie would be great in the new WWE. I thought he would fit perfectly in the mid card, but maybe he's going to Impact where he's going to be.
I even suggested a while back that he might go back to Impact just because it seemed like they weren't using him. So I could, you know, in a place like Impact would, you know.
And hey, good on him. We'll always root for Frankie. He's a good brother. So good on him. All right. Mercedes Moné. She's been in the news lately. She has been cast in The Collective. It's an action thriller film. The movie's already wrapped filming. And it was announced that she will be in it. There's some people in it. Tyrese Gibson, Lucas Till, Ruby Rose. So, yeah, the Deadline covered this. And more wrestling stars showing up in the, I guess, in the movies, right? That's the, we always wonder who's going to be next. In cinema. We got the Samoa Joe movie coming out this year, so that'll be cool. Okay, what else? The King of Television. Oh, shit. Dax Harwood. He says FTR has been, quote, granted the next few months off of AEW TV. As you guys, we've covered this extensively before. Dax has been dealing with some injuries. He just needs some time off, man. The guy put
his body
through hell.
He's got a fucking bruised, broken, fucking shattered ass.
Yeah, he needs some time off. They're just going to take some time off. And you know what? After the year they had, when they return, it's going to be fucking incredible. And the pop's going to be beautiful. So go back, get healthy, reset up. I wonder what this, and I'm sure Cash doesn't mind getting some time off himself. He's earned it. So, good on him. ROH announces date and location for Supercard of Honor. The pay-per-view will take place during WrestleMania weekend in Los Angeles. Tony said he doesn't give a fuck anymore. Said, you guys are going to put pay-per-views on the same day I put them out? All right, fine. I'm going to start running WrestleMania weekend. He said he wasn't going to do that, and then they fucked him over. So he said, nah, fuck it. I'm going to do you better. I'm going to do you the same way. So, yeah, that'll be Friday, March 31st in Los Angeles. That'll be fun. And on the cover is Wheeler, Joe, Athena, Claudio, and the Briscoes. So, yeah, I can't wait to see who's on that card because they're probably going to try and go big, to say the least. And then the last thing we'll talk about here before we get into the Dark Order stuff, William Regal's position was announced with WWE. He is now the Vice President of Global Talent Development. So that's kind of something we had talked about, speculated, you know, he was going to be getting something big. And yeah, that's pretty big for Regal. So good on him. Wish him nothing but the best. And I'm glad they're not like treating him like the boogeyman and they're still talking about him. It does help with what he just did. All right, with all that down and out of the way, Garrett, we got some Dark Order fantasy booking Batista. What do we need?
Give me what I want. Give me what I want.
Yes. We both wrote down. I don't know how many options you wrote down. I wrote down a bunch.
So we're gonna give five options each, and then if we have any honoraries at the end that we didn't cross over, we can dock into those. But Basically, the idea here is on BTE, they had been talking about Dark Order need to start recruiting, and we've noted that. And then this week, they brought it to Dark. They pitched to Juice Robinson, who I actually thought would have been a pretty good member, but he declined. He's Bullet Club for life. And that spawned this idea because, you know, we love fantasy booking. And let's fantasy book some of the future members. Now, if any of these people join, we're going to gloat about it. And if they don't, hey, it is what it is.
Exactly.
That's the way it works around here, all right?
Exactly.
So you take the lead. You have odds. Who would be your first member in the Dark Order? And I guess why, right? So,
okay, I was going to go like in list order that I just wrote down, but I'm actually going to pick the best pick I think I have first. It's actually a team that I'm putting in the Dark Order.
All right.
I'm putting the team of Brian Pillman Jr. and Brock Anderson in, and they're going to be called, and there's still going to be a small connection to Arn. That's why this name's going to be called. They're going to be called the team of Armed and Dangerous.
That is actually a really good name.
Because of the whole fucking Arn with the gun thing. Anyway, so
and
yeah.
And Pillman's dad's
And the storyline that you tell here, and they're not even going to be permanent members of the Dark Order, is that they're still not standing on their own like he told them they needed to be. So you have crossed, you have two dark stories crossing over and an incursion of a multiversal energy. And yeah, so who do you got as your first? Because I got Armed and Dangerous slotting in there and getting some matches in.
That's a fantastic pitch. Okay. I don't. All right. So my first, and this is the one I think is the best. I think, the best one I would do right now. She has had some stuff with them on BTE. The chemistry is there, and we all want to see her back. Maki Ito. She is so funny, and her when she does stuff with Hungi, it's hilarious. Everyone wants to see her. When she returned to face against Britt, the crowd fucking blew up. They reacted. They loved it. I think, because we had also talked, you know, when they brought in Anna Jay, AS, it was a good fit. And it makes sense to have them add more women or tags like Armed and Dangerous. Great name, by the way. You should fucking, that's a great name for them. So, yeah, I think Maki Ito, and we want to see her back, right? So, yeah. What do you got next?
See, now if they don't do that tag name now, everyone's gonna hate it. All right, so I'm gonna go ahead and go even bigger with the next pick. I think this just makes the most sense. This person is on top of the world right now, and I don't really know where they're gonna go after their current storyline. So fucking throw Action Andretti in there. Let's go.
You know what? He would fit. He would fit, and get the storyline out with the.
Because like, then you don't have to focus on him. You can have the storyline be he's helping build up the Dark Order, you know, and he can be in for as long as you want him to be, you know. And if he outgrows the Dark Order like Hangman Page did, then, you know. Speaking of, I guess we should just go ahead and mention Hangman. I did write Hangman down, but I don't think either of us should take that as a pick because it's so obvious. Like,
Yeah.
If Hangman joins the Dark Order, everyone will be happy. It's probably never going to happen, though, if it hasn't already. So
number four and my second pick here. Kind of fits along the Action Andretti lines as like a recruit. He's had some success, not in this company, but that is Blake Christian, All Heart. He's a good baby face, and he's young, and everyone wants to root for him.
Get some grit in there. He's got that GCW pedigree. He's got those matches with Jon Moxley for like the GCW title and stuff like that. Dude, I like that. Give a little bit of edge to the Dark Order. I like it.
So that, I think Blake Christian could be a nice fit for them and would be a... That would mean we get more of Blake Christian in AEW. So number five and your third pick.
First of my two female picks that I have. Spoilers. I'm going to go with the one that I think would have the most to gain from being in the Dark Order, which is Sky Blue. I think that just gets her on TV more. I think it gets her on BTE. I think it gets her noticed by more people, which ultimately helps you to build her brand more and then become more valuable overall. And then you can start using her more often because I feel like that's what holds her back is like a lot of these other people already have a presence on social media. She's still trying to build that, you know, so maybe this helps her to do that a little bit. I don't know.
That's a good pick. And, you know, following her match with Jade, I mean, I feel like she's elevated even more now as a babyface. And Dark Order, if we can get them back to where they were as some of the biggest babyfaces, Sky Blue, great fit for that. Okay, number six and my third one. I've mentioned him before, but I couldn't make this top five without him because it just makes too much sense, and it's Fuego del Sol. For every reason I've said in the past, if you've listened to that, Fuego has something that people, when he's out there, he just kind of gets this reaction. And one of the other people in the company who get that is Johnny Hungy. Why not throw them together? Why not see what happens?
He's in the mask already. If he comes into the Dark Order, there's one thing you have to do. You got to bring back Fuego, too. You just have to.
And who ends up being Fuego too? Oh, it's Blake Christian. So there you go. There's two of them. That could be fun though, right? You have a Fuego 2 randomly there and everyone's like, who's this?
Absolutely. And then they eventually Fuego 2 graduates to being an actual Dark Order member. Yeah.
See? This is the way. All right. So you're now, what are we at? Number 4? And number 7 overall? So
Yes. I'm going to go with the last male that I have on the list, which is... And I was thinking about this. I was like, who would actually make sense that like you could add into this that would actually be really interesting? And so I think Keith Lee would actually work really well in the Dark Order.
Okay.
So I know he's a big star already. And you're like, well, okay. Well, I think that's what the Dark Order is lacking right now, because of Hangman Page kind of not really being adjacent to them right now, doing his own thing and missing something to draw people into the Dark Order.
Brody was a massive star, and that did elevate the group.
And I think that they just need that so that everyone else gets the opportunity to shine, because that's what Dark Order has always been missing and why you lost people in the group, I think, ultimately, is because they didn't get that opportunity at ever. So, and I think Keith Lee is an opportunity for that, especially if you have Dark Order taking on Mogul Affiliates. I mean, like, that you could see that working. Like,
yeah. No, absolutely. That
maybe
makes it's
organic.
Sense.
Maybe Keith Lee does what Adam Page did, where they just build a friendship over time. They come to save him 1 week because they're good guys, right? Maybe it's Silver and Reynolds, and then they form a little trio for a little while, and then eventually he's like, "Hey, do you want to join?" And it's, "Yeah, I'll join you guys." You know, like I don't know. Like, I maybe it could work, maybe not.
Yeah, I could see it working. I could see it working. I didn't even think of that one. That's a good pick. And he immediately would bring in some star power, which. It's a good, you make a good point for that. Okay, number 8, and my 4th, it is a tag team. They have already wrestled as a tag. Unfortunately, they've been a little buried at times. And that would have been a great pun if I was picking Buried Country.
I was about to say, I really hope it's not Buried Country. Oh,
no,
God.
No. But it is the Work Horsemen. And
oh, yeah, okay.
J.D. Drake, okay. Anthony Henry, like both guys are fantastic. And they've recruited tag teams before, so I wanted to add a tag team, and you did too with Armed and Dangerous. I wanted to have a tag team in here because you know what? Even if it was just Anthony Henry, and I didn't want to just pick him, Anthony Henry, the sky is the limit, and just maybe putting him in the Dark Order, getting him featured more, because even the Factory, you know, they low key picked up Cole Carter and Lee Johnson. And we started seeing them more and more. Now, it's been a couple weeks since we saw them, but you get the idea. The Work Horsemen, they've had some... They're thrown out to be beaten, right? Which, everyone's got their own job. That's what they do. You put them in the Dark Order, and all of a sudden, they start revitalizing their career. You can toss in different trios with them. You can make your five-man matches.
I don't want to interrupt, but literally, their name is a joke about being the guys that just do work, and they don't actually... they don't win, they just do all they're like workers, you know what I mean? Like, that's like their whole name, right? Like,
and JD Drake has, we've seen it before, he has some shit in his arsenal where,
dude, remember when everyone got mad, well, when everyone tried to get mad at him, but actually it was him getting, should have been getting mad at the dude that stole his spot on NXT or whatever. It was like, I think it was a level
it's
up or something like
he's
that.
So yeah, innovative, like, man, it's things like that, yeah, where he has so much shit in his arsenal, he can have big matches, and he can have big moments in big matches. We just haven't seen it yet in this company. So, if the Work Horsemen,
like you with me, like Keith Lee, that I would not have picked the Work Horsemen because I like them. Like, not that I think putting them in the Dark Order would be bad for them. I just would like for them to be the Work Horsemen, and I think that would be really fun. You know,
yeah.
Not like losing like they are, but like just be the tag team they could be. You know, because they clearly have like a history from the Indies or whatever. But I like that pick a lot, actually. Okay.
Yeah, and I think it fits for. For what we're trying to build with the Dark Order, because we also want to rebrand it a little bit. So.
Yeah, because it needs to be a little more serious, I think. The funniness can still be there, but I think we needed it to be like an actual group of dudes, you know, that actually want to win stuff. Like, it felt like something was there when them and Hangman might win the Trios titles, you know? Like,
absolutely. So, number 9, and your final pick for some Dark Order fantasy booking here.
Yeah, this might be a bit of a letdown for the last pick. Not that it's bad person or bad pick, but it just might not be like the exact thing you were expecting to end on. But this is actually weirdly the first person that came to mind when we started doing this. This was the first person that I thought of. It's Kiera Hogan. So again, not sure where she's going when she gets done with Jade, right? I don't think she's beating Jade. I think she'll be 49 or something like that, you know. Which would make sense. It'd be good for her. It'd be like the last one to possibly beat Jade that won't, you know. Because I think 50-0, I think they're building it up. I think that's where this ends. Maybe. I hope so, for fuck's sake.
Maybe. God damn. Yeah, who knows?
Like, you know.
The person that beat her might not even be on the roster yet, for all we know.
That's true. I mean, well, anyway. It could still be Sasha, even if it's not. But whatever. The point is, like, or sorry, Mercedes. It could still be, you know, but Saraya. Anyway, I think Kiera Hogan would benefit, like, a lot like Sky Blue would, except I think she's actually kind of weirdly somehow a little bit more established than Sky Blue, maybe because of the stuff with Jade, but, like, you know, but also I think maybe she's just distinguished herself a little bit more when she.
Oh, yeah, that she had a pretty lengthy career and impact already.
Okay, well, then there's that as well, I guess, as well. So fair enough, yeah. So Kiera Hogan, you know, we'll see where she goes. But I think the Dark Order, you know, she's turning face, obviously, right now. So we'll make some, it's a baby face group, so hey, you know.
Yeah, and that's a good fit. I think Kiera Hogan, you know, where's she going after this?
I don't have a pitch like I do for the other ones. I should have done this one first. Oh, well.
No, yeah, I like her fit there. And even if, you know, they could bring in her real-life girlfriend, Diamante, and maybe bring them as a duo in.
Well, that would be cool. Have, like, a female duo cool. In a group of, like, the Dark Order. Like, that would be interesting.
I honestly like every female.
Have them face TJ in a JAS versus Dark Order feud. Like,
yeah, it could work. All right, number 10. I went back and forth on who I want to pick. I'm going to say Griff Garrison. I didn't want to leave him off the list. He was my oh shit in case you picked him. We've mentioned this before. Griff has zero direction right now. He's in a tag team that, I mean, are they even a tag team anymore?
No, I don't think so. Armed and Dangerous may not have the name Armed and Dangerous, but they are officially a tag team. They were in a segment on Dark Griff, like 2 weeks ago or something like that, or a week ago with Arn, where they said that these two are a tag. That doesn't mean that Griff is gone.
So hopefully Griff is still on the roster. But that being
maybe,
said,
maybe Griff's the third on their trio. We just don't know it yet. And we just didn't see them with Arn because Griff wasn't available. You know, that's possible too, you know.
Griff desperately needs direction. And he is good. That's the thing. What was, he had a tag match last year. I think it was against Blackpool Combat Club. And I was like, this guy is so much better than his partner. And I felt like he just wasn't getting the chances.
And that's not even a knock on Brian Pillman Jr. Brian Pillman Jr. is also good. It's just Griff Garrison is just actually, like, genuinely a good singles wrestler.
Like, I just remember seeing that. I'm like, dude, this guy is so good, and he's got the he's a big dude. He's got a good look. Put him in the Dark Order.
That's what I'm saying, man. Grab all three. Okay, here's what we do. So you took a couple of the picks and threw them together, right? I'm going to do the same thing now with mine and your list. I'm taking Armed and Dangerous, including Griff Garrison, and I'm putting them in the Dark Order. And Griff's going to be a single star, and they're going to be the tag. And Arn's still going to be judging them for not standing on their own. That's my story. That's the pitch I'm going with here.
And then you bring in Sky Blue. And you bring in Maki Ito, and there you go. You have a full fleshed out team.
And Keith Lee is adjacent, and so is Hangman Page. And they're a tag team called...
Keith Lee's the new leader.
And then they're a tag team called the Cowboy Meat or something like that. And
hey, exactly. Anyone can make it work. The good thing is there's only down to three members. I thought about adding Stu Grayson as kind of a meme.
So actually, what I put on mine as well, and I didn't actually know if you wanted to include this or not, either him or Alan coming back, we would also take. I think we'd agree with.
Okay. And I had one honorary member. Oh, it's even better. I'm going to start. We're going to have theme music for when we talk about this guy from here on out. And ladies and gentlemen, it's Zach fucking Clayton. Zach Clayton hour, baby.
God damn it.
Whenever we mention
Zach
Clayton.
Who the fuck is Zach Clayton?
Whenever we. Who is he? Oh, I'm glad you asked. Every time. Zach Clayton's my favorite wrestler. No.
Zach Clayton, greatest wrestler of all time. Move over.
Zach Clayton
Brian
is signed with AEW. He doesn't really have a direction. But this guy's got a social media presence. And, like, we joke about it all the time. Like, because, you know, if you guys don't know, it always goes back to the Hook thing. Hook was going to face Zach Clayton. And everyone's like, who the fuck is that, Clayton? It's, we were like, well, you know, he's only been on AEW the past month, but that's besides the point. They just don't watch it.
It's amazing how they'll claim to watch everything in wrestling, and then, like, they don't know who the people from Dark are. It's like, well, how am I supposed to know all the people on Dark? By watching it?
And it, the thing about Zach Clayton, too, that is so fucking, like, funny about this, is he's one of the guys that can actually talk. And here's the thing. Legit, and all jokes aside, he's got a social media presence, right? That I think you add that to BTE, which we've already seen some guys in BTE that, I mean, Ryan Nemeth, I almost put him in this too.
No. We need the Zach Clayton vlog.
We do. And these guys got a certain social media presence. You add that, you throw it in the mix, and all of a sudden you're going to get more eyes. And the bigger the wrestler Zach Clayton gets, and he just needs more reps too. And in a team like this, they can make it work. So, yeah, that was my my honorary one. It was Mr. Zach Clayton. I'm sorry, I'm gonna kill that to the ground. But
no. It's a meme now. All right,
I literally renamed it in our fucking thing from award show to Zach Clayton.
Absolutely, as you should.
But did you have any other honorary ones or things that just came in the brain?
That was it. I just like, you know, we could bring back Stu or Alan. I don't want to bring back both. Okay. Either or. I wouldn't want to bring back both, I don't think. Because then it's just like, well, why did you make even have him leave in the first place? But if you want to bring back one of them, probably Stu, so that if you want to do the other tag
team. Stu's the one I'd bring back.
Not that anything against Alan. I just think if you brought back Alan, bring him back as a single star or something. Because clearly he didn't not want to be in the Dark Order, obviously. You know, like...
Let me rapid fire a couple quick at you, all right? Bandido.
Nah, I'd rather have Bandido just do stuff singles.
Okay. Trish Adora.
I mean, yeah, it's the same argument as like Sky Blue or Kiara Hogan. They can only benefit. Or Griff Garrison, even. They can only benefit from it. Or Fuego, you know, like just.
I've been following on social media. It seems like she's crushing it in Japan right now. So good on her. I think she, yeah. Trish is someone I really want in AEW. I really think she'd be a great fit.
Every time she's had a match in AEW, and she's been really good. Every match on Ring of Honor has been good. I mean, you know, so. I
originally had this team at my number two, but I took them out because I was like, maybe I couldn't see it. So I'm curious. The Renegade Twins.
No, actually, I considered them as well. But I was like, okay. I was thinking you would have them, actually. But then you didn't.
I did have them on my first initial list.
So that's why I was like, yeah, if you'll have. I didn't not pick people because of that. But if there were some people I thought was super obvious that you might pick, I was like, well, then I'll just.
Probably like Fuego. See. You knew I was
picking Fuego. Like, I knew I didn't have to worry about Fuego, even though Fuego seems like the obvious pick, you know, to everybody, I'm sure. But, you know, either way. Because he's already got a mask.
He does. Eric Redbeard.
I mean, yeah, there's the obvious connection there. I think a lot of people would want Eric to be the leader. I think I wouldn't want him to be. Well, have him be the heater. That's what he's there for. We're missing one now without Preston anyway, so.
And then the last one I'll toss at you. No, I'm kidding. Adam Cole.
Nah.
No? You don't see the Budge and Fudge connection?
I mean, I'd like to see the Budge. I'd like to see the Battle of the Budge from the other side. But, I mean, you know, I...
Yeah.
But I mean, I don't know if I want a permanent. I mean, if they're, I would almost rather him steal them away from the Dark Order, the two of them, and form the, you know, and become the manager Budge. And then that's how you do that.
Yeah, I could buy that. I could buy that. So, all right. That's it for some fantasy booking of the Dark Order. Hope you guys like that.
Because, you know, Adam Cole, only good to be a manager.
Only good to be a manager. You guys are listening to this show. You probably enjoy fantasy booking yourself. So you, yeah, it was fun for us. And again, on Twitter, Eat Sleep Elite. If you listened through this and you have some other member that we haven't added, toss us a tweet. Toss us whatever.
If you want Lance Archer in the Dark Order to kill everyone and then become the Dark Order's new leader, then yes.
I've never considered it, but son of a bitch. That might be a good fit. But yeah.
Has anyone ever done that? Actually killed, like, not killed, but, like, destroyed, injured everybody in a faction and just taken it over and replaced the members? I wonder if that would actually work. You pillaged the village.
It could work, though. That's the thing. We might be like, it actually could work.
Oh, wait, I think they did do this with the Nexus, but, like, it didn't really. It was, like, a more like a hostile takeover that CM Punk did, you know?
Yeah, so that's pretty cool. Okay, so here we go. We're going to go Elevation Dark Dynamite Rampage, and then we'll preview a little bit of next week because it's going to be a big week. So, Garrett, take us away.
Sound like you're about to hit like a Poke Rap style fucking like you know, like
is that
the Zach Clayton introduction. Yeah, so AEW Dark Elevation episode 97 opened up with the Machine Brian Cage with Prince Nana. We had a big pop for Shaf. Whoever the fuck that is, some Defy chant. I'm assuming the Defy wrestler, that's what I'm guessing. Some big meat collided here. Cage showed off his agility. He seems to be settling in on this roster a little bit more. I like that. He gave this guy a lot. He looked good. Hit him with a drill claw. Got the dub. W. And the Firm. We're back.
Oh, Shaft was trained by A.R. Fox. Sorry.
There you go. So it's one of A.R. Fox's guys. So there you go. The Firm was backstage, and Matt Hardy had a Boxing Day gift of new gear that matched what him and Zay were going to be wearing in the match for the match they were going to be having that he set up on their show later on in the night. So yeah, this is the first segment we got of Matt Hardy like conceding sort of to Ethan Page. So now we're on the same page and he's playing him now. I'm still going with my thing if I think that Matt Hardy should just break and at the end of it, like we should have Zay go to Ethan and be like, you broke him. You have to fix him now. And then they have to have like a cinematic death match to fix Matt or something like that.
Oh, I'm
and
so
bring
fucking
him back.
Down.
Speaking of cinematic death matches, we had the Bollywood Boys taking on the Kingdom. I love the Bollywood Boys. We had
welcome back.
By the way, though, on commentary, the Horny took over during this match for Matt and Paul. I don't know why, but they just love them some Maria Kanellis. Whatever. But I mean, like, hey, so I love that we got some respect given to Harv and Gurv here because they're both really good. We both like them. I still will always respect the one that took that fucking bump from Randy Orton. God, Jesus. Then he took the bump off the Punjabi prison, didn't he? Anyway, so yeah, I mean, you know, the Kingdom are starting to grow on me a little bit more. You know, I liked this match. It was a good match. The glitch in the hitting the ropes matrix happened. That was interesting. And then we had like a combo finish move. The name I came up for that, since they're the Kingdom, could be like King's Cross, maybe? I don't know. Anyway, with like Claudio in an interview backstage, putting himself and Josh Woods both over before their match. I'm assuming you would have rather had it be Josh Woods with Danielson, but I actually wonder how Claudio versus Tony would have been. It would have been interesting.
And Tony won me over with that. He was fantastic.
Oh, really? Okay, fair enough. Okay.
He was fantastic in the job he did with Danielson. I think that with Tony there, it would have been better because I think it would.
I understand Claudio winning. Josh was such closer to him in terms of athletics, like and sort of style. So it's like he's like almost like the American version of Claudio, if you will, except smaller, obviously. But you know, whatever. Because Claudio is a big meat man. Speaking of big meat man, we had the Wingmen taking on Ari Daivari and, or sorry, the Wingmen and Ari Daivari taking on the House of Black. There's your meat man. We had some new graphics for them that looked nice. I like those. And I agreed with commentary that Buddy looked really crisp in the ring, which I liked. We had what the hell is this? Apparently there was something about Daddy Magic's car. I don't know. I don't know. Whatever. There's Paul Newman reference. There was some big squishers. I love how that's becoming over. They're calling it that now. There's big squishers in the corner. They cooked. They barked. There was a senton and a knee strike in the corner, and that was it. All right. And it actually looked really clean when they did the senton roll with the two knees. That was good. That's a good finish. We had the Powerhouse Hobbs taking a nice squash. We had a squisher from him. Then he just started screaming at him. It was great. He beat the man's chest in with some clubbing strikes and then dropped his ass with the suplex the suplex with the anti-air spine on the bide for the dub. We had the Vicious Vixens, which I think they're still called? Question mark? I don't know. Squash more tension in the ranks. There was a woman sent off screen at one point. She was shoved and she was just gone. She was like, oh, bye. See you later. She came back at one point, but she was just, she was off screened. And then there was a fake tag that was kind of funny. And then Marina pulled guard, which was interesting for a second, and grabbed like the legs and some judo stuff. And then they did the combo DDT, which still hasn't killed someone yet. And they got the win. We had the Butcher and the Blade backstage talking about getting stoned with the I'd like to smoke down with them. They seem like they like getting high.
Their
entire promos have just been about smoking weed, bud. I guess they're just getting fucking stoned. It's why they're not wrestling. They're just too fucking high. we had Josh Woods taking on with Simp Mark Sterling, at ringside with Claudio Castagnoli taking him on with Young Wheeler. We had a Humble Menard admitting that he actually can't necessarily do the kind of technical wrestling they started out this match with. That takes a man to admit what he can't do. I don't actually know if I agree. I've seen him not do that kind of stuff, but I've seen him do some good wrestling. Whatever. Humble Menard. He keeps talking like that. I'm about to start calling him Matt Maynard. Anyway, no.
Maynard.
I thought that was cool. I've never heard a commentator do that. There was some good torque back on the leg targeted. On the pin. I liked that. So Josh Woods on a pin attempt after torquing back the leg on all those submissions. I liked him pulling that leg in on the sub. That's like, you don't see stuff like that. You know, I liked it. There was a little swing. It didn't last very long because of the leg. Corkscrew brain buster, which was sick. And then he smoked him with the uppercut, picked up the win. We had Hardy Party and Ethan Page with the remix by Ethan Page on the entrance. We had Dasha adding a little bit of flavor too on the names, which I like. We got that from I think it was Justin back this week. Even if it wasn't Justin, so there was some flavor on the introductions this week, which I like, you know. So like I mentioned before, my end game for this is Matt leaning in too hard, breaking, and Zay literally having to get him to bring him back. I want the multiverse to collide in this storyline. All right, we got Athena taking on Viva Van. Some cool looking gear here. Leveled her with the forearm, checked her into the steps, double knees into the steps, locked in the crossface. More beatdown after. Marina makes the save. I was like, okay, I guess we're having that match. Eddie Kingston and Ortiz taking on.
Nope.
I know I didn't get down who they faced, apparently.
Eddie Pearl and Ricky Gibson.
Oh, that's why, because they were two jobbers. Okay, I probably just didn't write down the jobbers. Yeah. I wrote squash. Sometimes I'll just write that. I didn't separate the text. And Helico is on commentary for this. One thing that I think is cool is that everybody gets that Eddie is good. It's because he's like super authentic and everybody picks up on that. You know, it's almost, you can't not notice it when you're watching him, even if you're just watching him wrestle.
I saw someone talking about Angelico because he joined commentary here.
Yeah.
They said Angelico reminds me of Nigel McGuinness.
Yes. Agreed. 100%. I think Angelico might be like my fourth, fifth favorite commentator now behind if I had to quick top five, top. Are Caprice is number two and Rick Abani at number one. I'm sorry. They've usurped the Dynamite and Rampage guys. They just have. They're the Fair. Best. The two of them are the best. I even heard Dax talking about it on his podcast. They're like literally the better commentary team. And then right down there, probably below, that's Excalibur. And you probably can have Excalibur, Tony, probably Chris Jericho, probably JR all at the same level. So you could tie them all into one rank if you want to tie them up. And then at four would probably be like Angelico, Matt Menard, Paul White, you know, that secondary group of commentators that don't necessarily get as much shine as like Tony or Excalibur or Taz. Like Taz is up there for me, but Taz might be number five now because there's just so many randomly good commentators. And I think I would rather have Taz, you know, I like how Taz is now where Taz is on and he does Taz being the third member of the comment, the Taz needs to be a part of a two-man commentary team. I think I've decided that. But I don't want him to just be on Rampage, so whatever. Commentary is complicated, and Helico does it well, so I respect that. And he had a little bit of personality during this, so that was good. There was a clean exploder suplex and a DDT, and Eddie was fucking out. He said, peace! Homer Simpson going into the bush gif. We had Bandido taking on Christopher Daniels, the Fallen Angel. A vet and an up-and-comer in this match. They felt the crowd out well. Shout-outs to the Seattle crowd for sticking with everything. Big mega strength for Bandido. Hell of a knee strike for the W. And then we had the SAP taking on the Best Friends with Danhausen. What the fuck, Danhausen? What were you wearing during this match? Soul Food Combo, Luther Can't Stop the Curse, and double dick punches, strong zero, W, and that takes us to Dark 178.
Sweet! So this week's Dark, we started off with it was taped before the Battle of the Belts, so it was nice to have a live crowd for the dark. And Juice Robinson takes on and defeats Travis Williams. It was pretty
Juice is loose.
Pretty one-sided match, but you know what? I love Juice Robinson. I'm liking what he's doing here so far. So that's a nice little touch.
Like, I have to do it to him. He looks like the fucking thing from Jabba's palace that went.
Is that Salacious Crumb?
Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Yeah. Willow Nightingale and Ruby Soho, the tag team, took on.
No, wait. He looks like the bug from A Bug's Life.
God damn it. Nice, nice.
Fucking got his ass.
Willow Nightingale and Ruby Soho defeated Diamante and Emi Sakura. Pretty solid match. I like this tag, man. I like their tag team. Jake Hager, he's a man who likes his hat. He defeated.
I like that hat.
He defeated Steve Miggs. Beautiful fucking beautiful name there. Steve
he shouldn't
Miggs.
Have touched the hat.
Yeah, don't touch that fucking hat, son of a bitch. And the match we've all been waiting for.
Da Vinci?
The Firm, Lee Moriarty, and Big Bill.
Large William.
Large William defeated the Voros twins. They did their job. They got their asses whooped. Choke slam. You know how it goes. Bill and Moriarty then had a tag match on Wednesday. Juice got a promo claiming 2023 was going to be his year. Dark Order interrupted, offered him a spot. He declined. Said he's still in Bullet Club. He'd not be friends with the group if they were the last people on Earth. I thought he would have been a good fit. Not going to lie. I thought he would have been a good fit. Ty Mello and Anna J.A.S. defeated Teal Piper and Kel. Teal Piper, the daughter of Roddy Piper, wrestling again. First time in a while on AEW. And I liked it. She brings a good energy, too. So
yeah, the crowd was with it. So yeah,
Worth noting that. Okay. I could see that being a thing. Lock that in the old schism. Party Hardy and Ethan Page defeated Judas Icarus, Sebastian Wolf, and Caleb Tennedy. There's a pretty good one-liner here from Isaiah Cassidy while Ethan Page is talking over the ring. He hands him he's talking about how'd you like the match, or how you liking the match, and Cassidy just goes, I literally hate you. That was pretty good. ROH Women's Champion Athena defeats Marina Shafir to retain the title. This was set in motion on Elevation. And there is a different energy with Shafir's music. I know we say that a lot, but there is. When her music hits now.
Athena did the greatest heel thing of all time. She went to high-five the kid and then said, too slow, mother.
Too slow, motherfucker! Hey!
Fucking yeah, got him.
Athena went on. She picked up the win. This is a successful title defense. And yeah.
I'm bored of Marina Shafir still.
Yeah, but I'm not going to disagree with that. I think solid win for Athena, though. I think it worked for what it was. Let's move on to what's next now, right?
Yes. I'm so excited to talk about this match.
And that's going to kick us off on Dynamite. So take the lead here. What did you think of Hangman Adam Page defeating, clean as a sheet, John Moxley?
Yeah, he beat the big meat, the Mox. So that didn't sound right at all. They went right after it, dude. Like, he started attacking his head immediately. So that was going to be the story
great
of this
touch.
Match.
Yeah.
And it was, dude, you know what this was? This was like a new, I think I even said this to you before we went live or maybe during the show, this felt like a New Japan style, just bloodbath. Yeah. I think I did mention this in reference to like a Jay White Okada, like how they were just beating the piss out of each other and how they have been and breaking each other's jaws in those matches, you know?
Yeah.
This felt like that style of match. So I really liked that. This was the match where I noticed those rails, by the way. So I really liked that touch as well. It helped for this match because they went with that style. There was a lariat of doom from Moxley at one point to put, you know, our boy on the shelf, and he kicked out of it. So that was an immediate like, no, you're not getting me with that again. We're not doing that. He then put the
beautiful
boots
touch
to him. Hangman still looked super crisp in there, even though he hasn't wrestled in 3 months. Gotta love that. Tells you somebody's good. Brutal landing for him on the moonsault, though. Ooh. And the one where he bumped backwards into the fucking rails. Ooh. That one looked tough, but hey, he did it. Kicked out of the death route. He might have been the first person to do that in maybe like a year, dude. Like, since Mox came back, that might have been, like, since this time, like January last year, I think, which was about when he came back, right? January, March-ish, that time, I think. Like, whenever it was. It's been about a year since somebody kicked out of the goddamn Death Rider. And then he hammered away at him into a bulldog attempt. He kicked out at one from the pile driver. What? Sent the crowd fucking nuts from that.
Oh, yeah. Beautiful.
Got back on his feet. Got some, you know, leveled him with his own lariat. You know, beat the piss out of him more. Got him over the top of the ropes. Hit a buckshot lariat, and then Mox acted like he was knocked out afterward. Like, he did. He literally said, "What just happened?"
That was a beautiful touch.
So he did back to him what he did to him, just even worse. So now we're gonna have a story with Mox potentially where he's, you know, maybe damaged in the head now or something. Like, this could go so many ways. And it's so interesting. I don't think we're done. I don't think the story is over. I think there's more here. I mean, I think Mox has to go away for a little bit now, obviously, to sell the injury. But Charlie, I want to hear your thoughts. I know I kind of just steamrolled through the whole thing, but like,
no, perfect. And I agree. I'm with you. I think there is some more here. I think this is the right call. This was Moxley's second time being pinned in AEW. It's kind of fucking wild when you think about it.
Wait, ever?
That's what I saw. So
no, that really?
I think it's the second person that's pinned him.
I mean, I could believe that, but he had lost the title. Is it literally just when he lost the title? Is that the only time?
There was a fun fact that in April 26, Moxley has yet to be pinned or submitted clean in singles match in AEW. And then MJF became, was it MJF the first one that pinned him clean?
How did he lose the championship before then?
Someone must have. I think he got fucked up. I think he got fucked over. Huh. Hangman pinned him clean as a sheet. This was the second person to do it. It was CM Punk that beat him clean, right?
It would have had to have been, because CM Punk definitely did when they had their match. 1,000%.
CM Punk and Hangman Adam Page is the first two people to pin John Moxley clean as a sheet. No shenanigans, no horse shit, no cowboy shit. And so great stuff. This was the right call. I think Hangman is now propped up to have a little fun run this year. So maybe him and Adam Cole rekindle. Maybe he goes elite. I don't know. I don't know where he's going to go. But
yeah, team, we don't give Adam.
Yeah, this was a 35.
Get it? Because of
damn it. This is an 85 day, 3 month thing where he's been gone and he looked good. So, back from the break, Excalibur informed us a doctor walked Moxley to the back where he's evaluated. I think he's going to go on his vacation, right?
That's what I'm thinking as well. I don't know that, but that's what I think.
And we get even more healthier. The roster gets healthier. Adam Cole has returned.
Baby.
This was a surprise to, I mean, this wasn't even anywhere on the internet. I had no indication of this anywhere. Maybe it was.
I remember saying to you for the last like 8 months, like, man, where is Adam Cole? I miss Adam Cole. Blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, and like 2 months ago, we talked about that report that people were like, yeah, this concussion shit's not good. He might not. Like, there's a chance he doesn't wrestle again.
Okay, and I just have to say this. I don't give a shit. You guys have the ability to go back. You guys have the podcast in your feeds. You can go back to when I most recently brought this up, and you can find out if I did. Because I'm pretty sure one of the most recent times that I've said something about, you know, Hangman being gone, I want to say I remember saying that I because he quoted a bunch of people, and one of the things that he said when he was talking about what made him want to come back and fight to come back was a quote of somebody saying, I hope, because I know I said this at one point, maybe this isn't what he's referencing, but I know I said this at one point, that even if Adam Cole never wrestles again, I just want him to be happy. And I knew in my heart that he never would be if he couldn't wrestle again, you know. So I'm sure he'd find something, but it wouldn't be the same, you know? So
yeah,
that was kind of the heartbreaking thing for me, man, was just sitting here knowing that guys like him, guys like Kenny, were just on the shelf for multiple months, knowing what they could be doing, you know, just, yeah, it has to be the worst kind of.
It has to be tough. And now he's back. So he's back in full swing, it sounds like. And hopefully we pick up where he left off and he starts having some great wrestling matches and him being back is just, it's again, another shot in the arm of adrenaline for this fucking company. It's really good.
So who would you have him face first now that he's back?
If he's going to be a baby face, I don't even, my brain goes swerve, but he's in a feud right now. He's in a program.
Yeah.
Maybe Orange Cassidy. Maybe you do something there. But that's if you want him to go for a title.
Yeah.
Honestly, I just have a House of Black fucking taunting
that him. That would make sense, because even though he's a good guy now, him and Orange do have history already. So
yeah, so that'd be fun. Yeah, I mean, there's a number of things you could do. If they're going to do the Kingdom thing, that could be a quick little get a couple matches out with the Kingdom.
That'd be good. A good return feud. Have him feud with a group while he's a single. Maybe have the Bucks back him up or something, you know.
But yeah, I imagine
because let's be honest, nobody's going to remember that he attacked the Elite the last time they were together. They didn't even reference it, and I don't think they're going to reference it at all.
Yeah, because Bobby Fish is gone, and Kyle, again, he's another guy. He's still dealing with a lot of injuries we covered last week. So we're hoping the best for Kyle, too. Yeah, is there
overwhelming
one that comes to
joy? Overwhelming joy when the music hit, though, because I wasn't expecting it. And when it hit, I was like, "Yes, thank God, Adam Cole is
back." I was
back.
Not expecting
the wrestling
that.
Wrestling world
MJF
is right again.
Out.
Adam Cole is in the wrestling world. Yes, Chugs is back, baby.
Chugs is back, bye bye. Do you have one that comes to your mind?
Let me just think off the top of my head. Who's a free and open heel right now that could use a feud with a guy like Adam Cole? Put him against Luchasaurus.
You know what? Good pick. Could this be the guy Hobbs is targeting?
Well, Hobbs did say the name Phoenix, which I'll bring up, so I don't know.
Okay.
So he said the word Phoenix. He referenced the Phoenix as rising from the ashes, so that doesn't necessarily mean Phoenix, but it could mean Phoenix. So
could mean something, yeah. Jungle Boy Jack Perry.
But you know what, though? Hold on, hold the phone. Adam Cole coming back from injury is kind of like a phoenix rising from the ashes.
This is true.
So harder and stronger. No, wait, that's the iron board. He's, you know, he's stronger than you're not stronger, but you know, rising again like immortal. Blah, blah, blah.
He knows the way. So you already know. We got what's the name? Jungle Hook. I just blew up someone's ears. I'm sorry.
No. It was Taz. You're good.
They defeated fucking Taz. They defeated the firm, Big Bill and Lee Moriarty. This was a bit of a quicker match, but man, the crowd was into all four of these guys, and it makes me very happy to see that Lee Moriarty is elevated to this spot. The firm has been such a success for him so far, and even though he hasn't seen gold yet, he has elevated his name being next to Big Bill.
Hey, Dr. Ken in the crowd. How about that?
Yeah, Dr. Ken. That was nice.
I'm convinced that Big Bill just saw Dr. Ken and was like, huh? Dr. Ken? And just went over there to see, like, what the fuck's going on here? I guess I'll be a heel.
Yeah. And I'm liking this tag team. I thought Jungle Hook was a success. They worked well together. They had some good chemistry. And I think this proves a couple things about Hook. I think Hook would be really fucking good in a tag team, man. Like, don't get me wrong. He's a singles champion. He's going to be a singles star. But man, just like Swerve and Keith Lee, Hook could be fun in a tag team for a few months. And I liked Hookhausen. I thought they had some good fun stuff. They just ran its course. So then they just called it off. But yeah, what'd you think of Jack Perry? Jungle Hook defeating the firm here.
I think for either of them to get TV time, they both need to stay together, which is kind of crazy considering how popular Jungle Boy is, but it's just the way the roster is stacked right now. And so I don't think they should break up straight up. I think it would benefit them both to keep together, keep this feud going for a little while, you know, get both teams on TV, maybe have the next group that they face be Jungle Hook versus Mogul Affiliates or something, you know? I don't know, like,
could make it work easily.
Or on Dark, Jungle Hook versus Ari Daivari in the Wingman.
I thought you were going Armed and Dangerous. I was ready.
Nah.
Renee Paquette, she's with Danhausen, Orange Cassidy, and the new Golden Globe winner, Paul Walter Hauser, who appeared to have brought
Paul Walter Hauser.
He said he'd show it on Rampage. Hauser asked Cassidy if things were cool, best friends. He said, yeah. as Trent and Chuck Taylor walked in and agreed, all hands in, as that was that.
Was there a reason for Paul Walter Hauser being on AEW this week?
I think they're in LA and he just won an award. So, and
I fair it enough, is true. Yes, respect. I was just kind of like, fan. Why is this like a friend of Tony's? Maybe I don't know.
Well, here's another thing. On Cobra Kai, his character is a wrestling fan, and we know this as well as they let him use Judas by Jericho. So
okay, I mean, fair enough.
I think this guy has always kind of been,
so he's like AEW adjacent. I guess okay, fair enough. I guess you got to hit your AEW people when you're in town. You know?
And you know, he won the Golden Globe. So what a week to do it. Even though those awards are, we can all have our opinion on those awards. The SAG.
You don't like having your Golden Globes. You don't have your your Globes golden, Charlie.
There is only about 70 people voting on those awards, but that's besides the point.
What do you mean who's to say if they even have the same levels of, you know, diversity as the other award shows?
Yeah, the Oscars and the SAG Awards. That's the good shit right there. We talked about Takeshita Danielson, right? Renee Paquette, she's backstage with Juice Robinson. Ask him what he wants to accomplish in AEW. Robinson says he's here to kick ass and take names.
Hell yeah.
All right. Yeah, exactly. All right. And
question. Do you think they stacked the Juice segment against a Tony Storm match on purpose?
Maybe they did. The Juice is loose.
I think they were like, huh, we're both going to be here at this time. Fuck you.
This is the way. AEW Women's World Champion Jamie Hayter and Dr. Britt Baker with Rebel defeated Saraya and Tony Storm. Take it away here.
Mercedes Moné's not in this match.
Nope. And what'd you think of this? And Tony Storm.
0 out of 10, no Mercedes. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, Tony Storm being back in the ring, man.
Dude. She got a fucking broken face or some shit. Like, Jesus. She really literally like leaned in and then they went back to the same fucking spot where she did it out of this match. Anyway,
sweet cheek music is unbeatable.
It is. If she did that, I was thinking about this. If she did that hip attack and ran at Asuka doing the same attack in the middle of the ring, and their hip attacks collided, I think it would create a black hole and everyone would be killed. Anyway, so that being said.
How to create a black hole wrestling edition.
just fuck the people that thought this was still going to be Sasha. Cause you obviously weren't paying attention. Only one women's segment in wrestling this week, apparently. That's all AEW counted. I mean, I guess we had this street fight on the other show, but whatever. If you only watched Dynamite, which a lot of people that watch AEW probably only watch Dynamite, then you only saw one women's segment this week. That's it. Anyway, it was a good one, but I mean, anyway. So Saraya looked a lot better here. She had a hell of an E-strike at one point, and that hip attack, dude. Oh, and that avalanche air raid of just death. It was just death. The death fall. And then Sheeta, I guess the storyline coming out of this fight is that Sheeta helps the bad girls, right? So throws the kendo stick in the ring intending to help the good guys and ends up helping the bad guys. And she didn't really seem that bothered by it. I mean, she seemed like not happy, but like also like it's like, what did you think was going to happen?
Yeah, idiot? After how they treated her last week, we don't expect.
Like, what did you think was going to happen? It's like, obviously, that was what your intent was, you know, like.
100%.
Because the ref was distracted, and it wasn't like, you know, the good guys were distracting the ref, I don't think. And if they were, then that's kind of weird. So, but yeah, no, good match overall, though, I think.
Yeah, agreed. And our last segment on Dynamite, since we already talked about the main event, the Jericho Appreciation Society arrives. They came out there in their matching gold jackets. Jericho said this has been a huge week for the JAS, mentioning showing up at PWG Battle of Los Angeles. Jericho mentioned Tay and Anna are going to win their street fight on Friday. Sending Action Andretti back to the minor leagues and ending the Ricky Starks experiment. Ricky Starks and Action Andretti interrupt. They come on the stage. He says they're still standing. While Jericho compared Andretti to a little orphan Oliver. Andretti told him to shut it up or he'll shove his baseball bat up his ass. Andretti said Guevara can't control his wife, even her hands, which were between his legs last week. Starks told Jericho to move so he could talk to Gilligan in the hat. He called Hager the village idiot, who still has his dumb lisp. Holy shit. Hager said he's going to slap Ricky Stark's face off of his face.
Got him.
See, Ricky Stark's reaction here when he said that was just like, what? But
well, what are you talking about?
These guys, Action Andretti, this is doing wonders for him too. And it makes sense to stick him with Ricky Starks here because they're not really a tag team, but they're just, you know, they're helping each other out because they both hate the fucking JAS. So the chemistry when these guys are talking shit at each other is fucking brilliant. It's every time. The previous week when they did this, I thought it was amazing. I just think.
Is Andretti like actually the real actual star they just found in the rough? They're like, oh yeah, this fucking Andretti guy. He was pretty good on Dark. Oh yeah, he was pretty good on Dark again. Okay, let's have him do a promo backstage. Let's see how good he is. Oh shit. Okay, shit. Jericho, will you lose to this guy? Who is Action Andretti? Okay, let me see his promo. Oh shit. Okay, yeah, I'll lose to him.
And let's start something up here with Ricky. And man, Ricky Starks, God, he's so fucking good. He has so much. He is undeniable when it comes to his charisma. So I'm looking forward to the future here of this. Starks and Hager will be fun.
Lord,
slap
Rickard.
Your face off your face. Apparently it's a quote from Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
Apparently. I have no idea.
I don't know. I think he actually fucked it. I don't know. I think that's his character's kind of a goof.
I'm going to slap your face off your face. Off your face.
What a Jabba. Why did I go Jabba there?
All right, I would certainly like to
hit to the
AEW Rampage. Darby Allin defeated Rampage, Juice. Baby. Juice Robinson to retain the TNT.
Juice is loose. Juice is loose.
But what'd you think of this? And we're getting the Darby Allin back, man. He's defending the title like we were hoping, pretty frequently. So it's gonna be a fun title reign.
Gonna be nonstop. I like the way he just dumped Darby over the ropes. He just said, "Get out of here. See you later, pal." And that led him to beating him up on the outside of the ring, which is always good. You know, I mean, it can't always be good, but it is with Juice. So, you know, it's that New Japan style of just beating people up for 10 minutes outside the ring. It's great. The reckless abandon that he had on the corner senton combined with the code red, actually, I thought that was a good combo of moves that like sold that Juice might actually get pinned there. Even though that wasn't going to be where he lost, obviously. The rope seated clothesline, that like lariat type move where he's like seated up on the ropes and he hits him with the clothesline. That's good. They both sold pretty well. I mean, and we had Sting at the end. This is a good segment. Open up Rampage, baby.
Agreed, and I'm looking forward to these title matches. I'm liking what Juice is doing here. I think Juice he has a fun spot on this card, and I think we're going to see more and more of him. He's okay, a great hand.
Yeah. So with the next segment, I think it's fair. Like we didn't write anything down, but like name a couple of people you'd want to see Hobbs face. I said Phoenix was a possibility because you mentioned Ashes. We mentioned Adam Cole. Is there anybody else that Hobbs could be facing that you're interested in?
I still think it might be Orange Cassidy. That's an easy target, and now Orange Cassidy's out of the Kip Sabian feud, so it looks more and more like it could be him, and it's going for a title, right? So it might be Darby, right? I don't know, but yeah, I'm gonna stick with Orange Cassidy for now.
Darby is also someone that rises from the ashes because he throws his body at everything, so I mean, I could see the metaphor there.
All right, Book of Hobbs, yeah.
I had the best. I described this next segment so perfectly in one sentence in my notes.
Oh no!
The Acclaimed cement their dominance over the Ass Boys.
And that's, I think, as good as we could put it. The Ass Boys interrupted the Acclaimed that did their shtick. They're getting a walk of fame or whatever, and they got pantsed. Are we setting up the Ass Boys versus the Acclaimed as our next feud?
We've had it already. What do you mean?
What do you mean?
I think we're running it back.
Claimed reunion.
I mean, they did beat FTR, so they have a claim to the title, I guess you could say, right?
They both beat FTR, right? So
yeah. So we
who
got
wins
that
between them two.
Renee Paquette is backstage at the Mogul Affiliates. Swerve said 2023 they are going to be the most violent group to ever come to AEW. Well, if you want to start that, a good way is putting a cinder block through someone's chest. So I see no lies.
Absolutely. So far, so good. It checks out. I like this segment. It's cool. I like Swerve just looking like an absolute fucking legend with all the people he's hanging out with and shit.
He does. He looks like $1 million. So, Kings of the Black Throne, Malakai Black and Brody King defeated Eddie Kingston and Ortiz. So there's been, you know, seeds of distrust. That's kind of been the whole point of this, right? As the House of Black is implanting more seeds of distrust between whoever they face. My favorite segment here was Eddie Kingston kind of trying to mock Malakai, but really it turns into Malakai just doing the thing anyways.
Yes.
I thought that was pretty fun.
Yes.
In the ring, Brody King, man.
So underrated. Like, he might be one of the most underrated. Like,
he's unbelievably underrated.
Buried in a trio, you know, like, because he's the guy, like, so good. Like, oh my God.
The guy, just everything he does, it's really fun. And he hit the corner cannonball. That's kind of what I was going to. And Kingston no-sold the lariat, hit an enziguri and a half-and-half suplex. It was a really nice little combo there. Ortiz was demanding a tag, but Kingston wouldn't make it. Ortiz jumped in with a leaping DDT on Malakai. Kingston hit an exploder for a really good two. Tag your partner chance rang out, so I don't know which way the crowd's leaning here. Kingston wouldn't do it and ran right into a jump knee by Malakai, as did Ortiz, who leapt off the top. Kingston hit Black with a Saito suplex and a lariat. King ran into a back fist to the floor. Buddy Matthews and Julia Hart hit the ring with a chair. Kingston got a chair from him. Kingston turned around. Hart screamed like a fucking straight out of a horror movie. And Ortiz thought he was about to hit a girl. Ortiz ducks a Black mass. Kingston took the bullet. Ortiz knocked outside. Black pinned Kingston. Post-match, Black told Ortiz he did good as they threw him back into his partner. So,
yeah, this is like fifth dimensional mind games, and I love it. I don't know who's, if someone's going to join the group out of this. I don't know if they're just going to break them apart. I don't know if
I don't know if we need someone else in this group. What do you?
I don't either. But I would be okay with it. Like, if Eddie,
I think
Kingston,
Julie Hart was like the perfect,
if Eddie
final
Kingston
member.
Is the fifth member of this group, I would be 1,000% okay with that. But I don't know if I wanted to be Ortiz necessarily. I think Ortiz, if I was going to have do anything with him, I'd just have him do a singles run or something. You know, like, because he's really good. Because you know he's really good. You know, so like.
Yeah.
But also, I love the Ortiz.
That is good stuff. Okay. Paul Walter Hauser, the interview segment. We already know this is going to be fun stuff. And honestly, you could tell how much fun Hauser was having based off some of the shit he did. So Renee's in the ring with him. He referenced Get the Tables in his acceptance speech, which shows his respect for professional wrestling. Instead, he'll always bypass Connecticut and go to Jacksonville. I like that. It's a fun little liner there. Danhausen interrupts, said he's a top seller of merchandise in AEW, but he never got a physical award, so he wants a Golden Globe. Fair enough. Jay Lethal's group, the music hits.
Slapnut Express.
Hauser's like, how many people are coming out? Hauser told Jarrett this isn't Memphis and looks like a woman from Crunch Fitness who walks around with a guitar he never plays. The rest of his crew look like they're dressed for a homeschool prom. Lethal and Dutt attack Hauser while Singh traps Danhausen in the corner. Jarrett then fucking cracks the guitar over Hauser's head as Lethal takes the Golden Globe. He's going to hit Danhausen before Orange Cassidy and Best Friends made the save. Jarrett and his crew tailed it as Hauser was left motionless. Lethal and Dutt stole the man's Golden Globe. this was a lot of fun. And you know what? Sometimes you need some fun, right?
Slapnut.
Slapnut. So I'm guessing we're going Slapnut versus OC and the crew. So maybe Slapnut wins the title off of Orange Cassidy?
What, you think Double J?
I'm just kidding.
I'm saying, if anything, Jay Lethal, right? You know, I mean, I can see Jay Lethal running with that little belt there for a while, you know?
Yeah.
Maybe he goes to Japan, goes to Mexico, goes to... I don't know, somewhere. I can go somewhere, but I don't know.
Give it to Sanjay Dutt. Fuck it.
He's got the pencil and the title. Oh, God.
He's untouchable. All right. So here we go. Our main event, the women main eventing Rampage. Awesome.
Rampage, baby.
We've been talking about this feud. Ruby Soho and Willow Nightingale taking on Ty Mello and Anna Jas in a street fight. Ty Mello also had a funny line, I believe, on Dynamite where she said, I am the table or I am the street fight. And Jericho goes, you are the street fight, damn it. That's pretty good. But yeah, take us away here from our main event and Ruby sporting the crimson mask.
Absolutely. Ruby and Willow were dressed for war. A little like they almost looked like 3D or something like that, which was pretty
they
cool.
They did, yeah.
Which I dug. And they leaned into that with the tables and stuff like that. The trash can stomp spot, which is what you're talking about, which busted Ruby right immediately open. Great spot to do that. I'm sure, I'm not sure if it was a blade or if it was actually just the way that it compacted on her head. Either way, she was busted open immediately after the trash can. Good stomp. Gory special onto it to obliterate Willow, which was, again, brutal spot. They did the tower. They did a tower of death spot onto some chairs. They did everything you're not supposed to do in this match, basically. Just about. There was a power bomb by Willow at one point off the stage, not through the table. It was off of the table that she went through. I don't know how that was supposed to work, but it didn't. Is Anna Jay okay?
It must have been.
Is Anna okay? Anna. Anyway.
Anna, you okay.
So yeah, and then pile driver through the table. I think that spot's hit pretty much every time in one of these street fights by Ty. So I guess fair enough. Destination unknown under the tax.
Destination. Ruby.
And then yeah, just a hell of an effort from the ladies. They bled all over the place, and I'm pretty sure at least three of them are dead.
And we've seen this before with their match against the Bunny. Right, where they're not afraid to get bloody, and I believe it was Ty or Anna in that match, or it was a double. I think it was a duo, right? I think it was a tag match. We'd have to double check that. But
yes, correct.
I thought Ty Mello looked fantastic here. We hadn't seen her in a little bit, and she looked great. Same did Anna. I'm hoping she's all right. I think the right team won. I think it makes sense to have Ruby and Willow win here. And you know what? They look like they had a fucking hell of a fun time doing this. They were able to get bloody. This was the only match all night between Dynamite and this that got bloody. Because Moxley didn't, right?
I think so. I think Moxley uncharacteristically didn't bleed. I mean, she doesn't bleed every match anyway. People just say that.
Yeah. But even in a big match like this, usually you'd think maybe it will, but they didn't.
Oh, yeah, but it wasn't the story. They wanted to show, the non-visible injuries. That was the whole story. So it almost makes more sense. I'm glad we noticed that, because it's a good touch that they included in that match. Because a concussion is really a non-visible injury in a lot of ways, you know?
Yeah, that's very true. Heyman didn't bleed when he got KO'd, so good touch. Yeah, I really liked this main event. I like that, we're letting them roll. Let them cook, man. This was something, I think, because now this adds more elements to their characters, too. Next time we see, them infused, we're going to, it just adds that much more. So, and Ruby and Willow finally giving the fist bump was cool. So, solid Rampage, solid Dynamite, really good stuff this week. And what better than a preview next week, right?
Oh, we didn't even note it. They didn't do the pre-match promo for once.
Yeah, they just jumped to Henry. It looks like these ladies are ready to fight or something.
It makes sense in this case. I think I like bringing it back, though. It's like it's a Rampage staple at this point, right?
Yep, he still hit his line, so at least we got that, right?
Hell yeah, there, buddy.
But next week, all right, AEW Dynamite. We got six matches announced so far. Ricky Starks versus Jake Hager.
I like that ad.
Bryan Danielson versus Bandido. My God.
Burning all the barns.
Yeah, that's gonna be someone's favorite.
I think it's probably gonna be mine again. I think Danielson's gonna have me locked in for a little bit while here, you know.
And there's even more. Top Flight versus the Young Bucks. What's the total time?
Is that their first
defense?
Them and AR Fox. I mean, is that?
It looks like it's just a tag match right now.
So. No, I'm saying, do you think that's where they go with it? Maybe
if you know what. And I'm going to tell you right now, I wouldn't be 1,000% shocked if they let Top Flight pin him here.
Ooh,
and that's where you go.
Like, hey, we just went through seven matches of hell and you guys beat us. So beat us at our 100%. Then
they put a lot of teams over before. They're not afraid to do that. I mean, Private Party pinned him in the first fucking tournament. So you name it.
If AR Fox is at ringside, you know that's the story they're going with.
And Kenny, and maybe Kenny's not there, and that's how they set up the dude. If we get AR Fox and Top Flight against the fucking the Elite, I am going to scream. Willow Nightingale versus Toni Storm. Both of them had fantastic weeks. I kind of forgot to touch on it myself, but I thought the women's tag was really good. And my God, I'm so glad Toni Storm's back. She is so fucking good. Seriously.
Yes.
Unbelievably good.
Yeah.
AEW All Atlantic title, Orange Cassidy defends against Jay Lethal. That makes sense. Going to be a fun match there. And the TNT title match, Darby Allin defends against Kushida. Kushida back from injury and making his debut in AEW.
Hell yeah, dude. That should be a banger, dude.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. We actually got some Rampage announced, and we got one match announced that is Action Andretti versus Daniel Garcia. So that'd be a fun little match.
I expect some Sammy shenanigans.
Definitely. Sammy and Danny, we haven't seen them out of a tag match yet. I want to see that. But yeah, guys, that'll be it for us. Again, Eat Sleep Elite. Follow us on there. Bane Duke and O'Charlie, if you guys are interested. And again, if you have any questions or you want to send us your Dark Order members you'd like to, we'll put it in the news for next week. We'll toss them in there if you guys have any suggestions.
Yeah, so send us tweets with your members.
Yeah, if you listened all the way through this, God damn it, we really appreciate it. I know Zach Clayton appreciates it. And that'll be it for us, guys. We'll catch you next week on Eat, Sleep, Elite when we're talking about the new All-Atlantic champion, Jay Lethal.
Slapnut.
Slapnut!
Entertainer.
This is the story of the one. As a maintenance supervisor at a manufacturing facility, he knows keeping the line up and running is a top priority. That's why he chooses Grainger. Because when a drive belt gets damaged, Grainger makes it easy to find the exact specs for the replacement product he needs. And next day delivery helps ensure he'll have everything in place and running like clockwork. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.